Welcome to Torah from JTS, a weekly commentary from the Jewish Theological Seminary.
This is Alan Cooper. I'm the Elaine Ravitch Professor of Jewish Studies at Jewish Theological Seminary with emeritus status. This is a Devar Torah on Parashat Naso. The title is Barefoot and Backwards Levites. Towards the end of Parashat Bamidbar, God commands Aaron and Moses to undertake a census of the Levitical clans in Numbers chapter 4, verse 2. They begin the census with the Kohathites, which is odd for three reasons. First, elsewhere, the Levites are listed in birth order, Gershon, Kohat, Merari, as in Genesis chapter 46, verse 11, and Numbers chapter 3, verse 17. But here, Kohat is given priority. Second, the Kohathites are set apart from the other two clans by the division between Parashat Bamidbar and Parashat Naso, the latter of which begins with the enumeration of the other two clans. Third, the labor assigned to the Kohathites is described without elaboration as most holy, Numbers chapter 4, verse 4. Rashi explicates this as responsibility for the ark, the table, the candelabrum, the altars, the curtain, and the accompanying vessels. Some commentators attribute this foregrounding to the fact that Moses and Aaron were Kohathites themselves, their clan thus meriting extra distinction, thus Lekach Tov and Ibn Ezra. Whatever the reason, their singularity comes to the fore in the Torah's description in Numbers chapter 7, verses 6 through 9, of how the respective clans were supposed to carry out their work. Moses took the carts and the oxen and gave them to the Levites. Two carts and four oxen he gave to the Gershonites, and four carts and eight oxen he gave to the Merarites. Belivnei Kohat, lo natan, ki avodat ha-kodesh aleihem bakatef yisau. But to the Kohathites he did not give any, since theirs was the service of the most sacred objects. Their porterage was by shoulder. Levi ben Gershon observes, they are commanded here to carry their load by shoulder because of the sanctity of the ark and the other items they were carrying. He goes on to discuss two later occasions when the ark was transported at King David's behest. In 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 3 through 8, the ark was mounted on a cart and disaster ensued. See the Haftarah for Parashat Shemini. That David learned his lesson from the incident is clear from 1 Chronicles chapter 15, verses 11 through 15, when he orders the priests and Levites to bring the ark to Jerusalem. David sent for Tzadok and Aviatar, the priests, and for the Levites. He said to them, sanctify yourselves, you and your kinsmen, and bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel to the place I have prepared for it. Because you were not there the first time, that is, in the incident described in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 7 through 8, the Lord our God burst out against us, for we did not show due regard for him. The Levites carried the ark of God by means of poles on their shoulders, as Moses had commanded in accordance with the word of the Lord. Levi concludes, nowhere else but here, that is, in Numbers chapter 7, verse 9, does God command that they carry their load by shoulder. David erred in this respect by having the ark mounted on a new cart. That was why God burst out in Uzzah in 2 Samuel 6. And that was why David reverted to having it carried by shoulder by the Levites. The special privilege and responsibility of the Levites in general, and of the Kohathites in particular, is elaborated in the Midrash Numbers Rabbah 5:8. How superior was the tribe of Levi to the other Israelites? For the Israelites would walk about wearing sandals. The tribe of Levi, who would bear the vessels of the tabernacle, would walk barefooted. Thus we learn that the tribe of Levi was superior to all other tribes. And preeminent within the tribe of Levi was the family of Kohat. An ordinary Levite would place his burden, whether it was the boards or the bars or the sockets or anything else, upon carts. The families of Kohat, however, bore their burdens on their shoulders. They were not allowed to place the ark upon a wagon, as it says, but to the Kohathites he did not give any carts. Their porterage was by shoulder. As if that were not distinction enough, the Midrash continues. In another respect, the Kohathites were elevated above all other Levites. The other Levites carried the vessels of the tabernacle and walked in the normal way, facing in the direction they were going. But the sons of Kohat walked backwards with their faces towards the ark in order not to turn their backs on the ark. This form of porterage, the Midrash states, is a mark of humility. The Kohathites were subdued in the presence of the ark. Why so? Because there's no place for greatness in the presence of God. So you must conclude that, though the family of Kohat was aristocratic, nevertheless, when they carried the ark, they did so like ordinary slaves. And why is that? The Midrash continues. God said, "The Torah is life, as it says, she is a tree of life to those who grasp her." Proverbs chapter 3, verse 18. "They are life to him who finds them, healing for his whole body." Proverbs chapter 4, verse 22. Now the sons of Kohat have charge of the Torah, synonymous with life, namely the ark that they carry, in which the Torah is contained. They carry it in this unique manner, that they may live and not die. Thus Numbers chapter 4, verse 19. In the first sermon on Parashat Naso, in his Torah commentary, Kli Chemda, Samuel Laniato, a leading rabbi in Aleppo at the turn of the 17th century, quotes the Midrash and then adds a striking idea of his own. He writes, "Since all living things are capable of carrying themselves, holy things, which undoubtedly are imbued with the Spirit of God, certainly would carry themselves. It is as the sages say in the Babylonian Talmud Sukkah 35a, the ark bears its bearers, ha'aron nosei et nosa'av. So naturally, it carries itself." Laniano presents a tour de force in which he imputes a double meaning, literal and metaphoric, to several key terms in both the Midrash and the biblical text that it quotes. When the Midrash says that the Levites were elevated, me'ulim, above the Israelites, that means that they were both superior in stature and also literally raised up by the nature of their service. When the Midrash depicts the Levites as barefoot, yechefim, the term is to be taken both literally and as a metaphor for their self-abasement and devotion to service. They were, paradoxically, elevated by their humility. Laniato cites a variant version of the Midrash that says that the Levites were borne by the vessels of the tabernacle, te'unim b'chlei ha-mishkan. The variant substitutes the passive form te'unim for the active tohanim. Instead of being burdened with the vessels, then, the Levites are borne by them. He continues, "The reason for the use of the passive te'unim is to teach that according to the grammar, the ark was carrying them. In like manner, I explain Numbers chapter 7, verse 9, ki avodat hakodesh aleihem bakatef yisau, to mean that the ark carries them. And that's why it does not say bakatef nosaim, or yisau, with a shva. The form yisau, in Laniato's view, is a passive nifal, not an active kal, pausal form, indicating that the Kohathites literally were carried along by the ark, nisuim meha'aron. The image of the ark bearers floating alongside their burden as it carries them through the wilderness is charming, but it also has a serious side. Laniato's discussion boils down to something like a riddle. When is a burden not a burden? The answer, when it is the burden of Torah. The biblical Levites humbly assumed the burden of the tabernacle, and they in turn were elevated in stature and literally transported for doing so. Their ancient work was represented in Laniato's day and may be emulated nowadays by what Laniato calls HaTorah B'Amal HaTorah, exertion in the toil of Torah. For those who dedicate their full vigor to learning and practice, the Torah is a burden that is not a burden. She is the tree of life that sustains them. Shabbat Shalom.
If you enjoyed this program, please rate and review it on Apple Podcasts. And discover JTS's other series by visiting jtsa.edu/podcasts. To learn with JTS faculty in live online classes, visit jtsa.edu/online. And you can get in touch with us by emailing onlinelearning@jtsa.edu. Thanks for listening.